당도 노래 지어야 돼. 당도 아진에 안도 거기 동아래 타지에 탈바다 템지 김벽고 봐. 토비하다. 근데 지게 제와치마 사람이 고봐 토요 원료 고봐 토야. 근데 이네 고아다 무슨 동아래 타다 줘야지 탈바다 템지 김벽고 봐 토야 되는 저기 때 미유로시 뒤차고로 와. 지나다 안도 니 토비알라 안스 간스 토고레스네 지난 코와는 나선에 타고고로 와 지난 동안에 타고고로 코와는 나선에 깨바네 동안 용고로 와 지난 가도 동안에 타고고래 지난 동안에 타고고 인자 동안 영화에 귀디 간에 용고레스 맞아 지금도 제어도 귀디 아니 치료에 용고 말해시래 난 귀간에 용고에서 난 가도 낭 마주게 낭 삼르기 교화 토년 레 레당은 레사지 아니 레기 왕기 아니 코와 깨월래야다 뭐냐 저는 유소디 아주 낭 아주게 레다 녀몽 발했더니 용고 레지로 와
good evening so all of us here we have as Buddhists we have this goal to attain freedom from the sufferings of samsara, and in order to achieve that, we have as an objective either to achieve a good rebirth in our next life as a human or a god, or perhaps we even striving for nirvana, or thirdly, we perhaps have as our primary objective, the highest objective, that of the omniscient state of a Buddha. In order to achieve, or the reason for having such a goal is that one has this wish to attain freedom from samsara. And what does freedom from samsara mean? It means freedom from suffering, or liberation from suffering. So in order to actually be able to attain the state of nirvana, or even the state of omniscience, which is a state where one is completely freed from suffering, one has to first clearly understand what is the cause of our suffering. The cause of our suffering isn't something external, something from the external world, but it comes about due to a mistaken way of thinking. And this mistaken way of thinking leads to the accumulation of karma, which ripens in our suffering experiences. Or to express it in a more usual way, we accumulate contaminated karma due to our own afflicted minds. And this is the cause of all our suffering. Of all the sufferings that beings experience throughout cyclic existence, throughout samsara, is the contaminated karma that they themselves have accumulated under the influence of their own afflicted minds. So, to achieve, stay freed of this, or to even before that, to achieve a good rebirth, a rebirth again as a human or as a god, such a result of a good rebirth, comes about in dependence on virtuous karma. So suffering comes about in dependence on non-virtuous karma. Happiness comes about in dependence on virtuous karma. And virtue and non-virtue, comes about independence on a particular way of thinking. The independence on one way of thinking, we accumulate virtue. Independence on a different way of thinking, we accumulate non-virtue.
ဒီစားတဲ့နာဆမ်လို့တင်နေယုံကိုရပါတဲ့အဲ့နာဆမ်လို့လက်တွေ့မာကျေရှေပါစင်နာရေလောစင်နာရေရိပါစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလောစင်နာလ Yaga can do a carriers, Gandulia, and a chicky nor nor the nigger and the yachi coronaya that in Noriag, Mongu, Jelesa, some look and it's in the look and it's letting it, Mazulesa Gores. Look and it's Yana and Sugle Masavaji, Malaya Yahoo the late Gores, Chichidu, Chisan Lodipa, Ganesu, Sedan, the Lodi, that Lui Napsiatipa, Yava Cheche, then I can show Lodi. Diaga dire, dua dire, pandoe dire, panmadoe dire, shasembe, loading as Yawachin, Moshingo, the Ding Moshingo and the Langan to glory, and I'm sure she had the shower.
What's just been mentioned is that if we achieving the causes for happiness or suffering comes about in dependence on a way of thinking, a virtuous or a non virtuous way of thinking. Another way to express thinking is to use the term knower, to use the term awareness, to use the term consciousness. So whether these are virtuous or non-virtuous, we can refer to them as knowers, awareness, or consciousness. So anger, attachment, ignorance, you can call these consciousnesses, awarenesses, knowers. So these ways of thinking that we have, whether they're virtuous or non-virtuous, better or worse, they are what lead to the accumulation of positive karma, or virtue, or negative karma, non-virtue. So these different ways of thinking, we need to come to understand. We need to gain knowledge of this, come to understand this. So these ways of thinking are, we can call, our awarenesses, our knowers, our consciousness. Hence we need to study this topic called awareness and knowers, or in Tibetan, lodik. When we started looking at this topic last year, at the beginning of the text, we saw there the title of the text in Tibetan, Lodik, or in English, Awareness and Knowers. Well, there's a longer title, which we have right at the beginning, and it says here, Objects and Object Possessors, as well as Awareness and Knowers. So this refers to different ways that we can divide consciousness and come to know it. So the greater division that we started with was dividing phenomena into object and object possessors. So objects which are known by something which is an object possessor. That which possesses its object, which knows its objects, is an object possessor. And we started looking at objects, and then we divided object possessors. So that was one division that we looked at. Another way of dividing it is what we've referenced a few times, is the sevenfold division of awareness and knowers. So this is a way that all awarenesses and knowers can be divided into seven, and we've starting to go through some of these. So we've looked at direct perception, and we'll come to inferential cognizers, as well as correct assumptions, and correct assumption, subsequent cognizers, that one, non-ascertaining awarenesses, doubt, and wrong consciousnesses. So some of these we've looked at, started to look at, others we've just referred to, and others we are yet to come to. We started to look at direct perception. We looked at direct perception a little while ago, and one can divide that in different ways. The simpler division was into two: mental direct perceivers and sense direct perceivers. That's really not the way the text divided, so let's rather stick with what we have in the book. So we saw there on page 3 that direct perception is divided into two: sense direct perceivers, mental direct perceivers, self-knowing direct perceivers, and yogic direct perceivers. So of the sevenfold division of awareness and knowledge, this is the first, and it's divided into these four. Still on page 3, we see that sense direct perceivers are divided into three, and so there's a threefold division. Is the first, which are valid cognizers that are sense direct perceivers, subsequent cognizers that are sense direct perceivers, and non-ascertaining awarenesses that are sense direct perceivers. So valid cognizers that are sense direct perceivers refers to the very first moment of a sense direct perceiver. So the first moment is a valid cognizer. The second and subsequent moments, it's the next division, subsequent cognizers that are sense direct perceivers. So the second and subsequent moments of the sense direct perception are subsequent cognizers that are sense direct perceivers. And the third division, non-ascertaining awarenesses that are sense direct perceivers, is where the object appears to a sense direct perceiver but isn't ascertained, isn't realized. So therefore the object has appeared but not being apprehended. And this is a non-ascertaining awareness that is a sense direct perceiver. We've also then looked at the subdivisions of the other three types of direct perception. And mental direct perceivers and self-knowing direct perceivers, like sense direct perceivers, have the same three divisions. The first moment of which is a valid cognizer. The second and subsequent moments are subsequent cognizers, and then they have a non-ascertaining division where the object appears but isn't ascertained. And then on page 5 we came to the yogic direct perceivers. Here there's a difference in the division in that there are only two valid cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers and subsequent cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers. Then we came to page 6, direct valid cognizers. So this term now you would have just heard again, because the first division of those of the direct perceivers always was a direct valid cognizer, and now we come to those divisions. So they, you could say they've been extracted and here are being focused on. And we looked at the first few of them, and again, because there's this close relationship between the first division we have as A, and now on page 6 we have B, the direct valid cognizers, because the direct valid cognizers come from what we had on pages 3, 4, and 5. So we looked at the definitions of the self-knowing direct valid cognizer, sense direct valid cognizer, yeah, at those two.
ဆက်တူမျိုးလူရိပါဆက်ချလိုက်ကြောဘာဒါတည်းလားရံကေထူမမယင်ပြီးကေတာကျင့်တို့ကြည့်ပြီးဝမ်ဘုံဆူချက်ပါလေတင်းနေကျွေးတော့ပါတန်ဒါရှင်ဆက်တူမျိုးလူရိပါဆက်တဲ့ဝမ်ဘုံဆူမျိုးချင်းမချင်းစီလိုပါဒါဆက်တူမျိုးလူအမှန်ဆက်တူမလာပါချက်မျိုးလူရိပါလည်းဝမ်ဘုံဆူမျိုးဒါဝမ်ဘုံဆူမျိုးတော်လို့ကြည့်ရှည်ကြည့်ချမ်းနာနေရောပါကြည့်ရောပါဒါဒီနာဆက်တူလာတဲ့တံပေါ်တော့ပါဒီလာမျိုးတည်
So if we compare, now let's look at sense direct valid cognizers. And we can compare that, I'll just read the definition of the sense direct valid cognizer, but you can compare it to the definition later of the sense direct perceiver on page 3. And you'll see they're very, very similar. But we're looking now on page 6 at the definition of a sense direct valid cognizer. A new incontrovertible non-conceptual knower that arises in dependence upon a physical sense power that is its uncommon empowering condition. So the second bullet point here of this definition is shared with the definition of a sense direct perceiver. There is some difference in the first bullet point, because here we have this word new and the word incontrovertible. So this is not shared with the previous definition, or the definition of a sense direct perceiver. And because we have the word new, we know that it refers to only the first moment. And if it's the first moment that the object is realized, it's a direct valid cognizer. And that we saw on page 3 with the sense direct perceiver, where it's divided into three, of which the first division was direct valid cognizers, which are sense direct perceivers. And that's what we're looking at here now on page 6, that first division. Hence, we have the word new here, because having the word new makes it explicit that subsequent cognizers are excluded, because subsequent cognizers cannot be new and therefore cannot fulfill the definition, because subsequent cognizers refer to the second and subsequent moments and therefore cannot be new.
And the thing is that the milieu was said la vida jarama wada to gasore sad milieu rigba la ngendi do ja bada ne sem zam bada ne uma rangi ba chasangi ne sad milieu rigba sine bi tan gore thing is that ji ba rang tu ma ta gen du jube on bo su chen ba la tin ne chuwe to ba da da chen sad milieu rigba se chen me thing is that ngendi do ja ba che sem zam ba che ama uma rangi ba ti ji ba de
And this definition here of the sense direct valid cognizer is something that is shared with the Satchantika school, as well as the Chittamatran school and the Svatantika school. So these three schools, they hold this division, this definition of a sense direct valid cognizer.
That
Prasangika have almost the same definition. They just leave out the term new. So their definition starts, an incontrovertible, non-conceptual knower that arises independence upon a physical sense power, that is its uncommon empowering condition. So Prasangika exclude the term new. They say it's not necessary. When the object is realized in each moment, we don't need to differentiate between the first moment and subsequent moments. Each moment is a realization. It's not necessary to make such a distinction. And then the remaining tenet is that of the Prasangika, that of the Vaibhashika. And why they don't accept the definition that we have here is because they say the sense direct valid cognizer does not have to be a knower. So they exclude the term knower. So they exclude knower, which is this consciousness. They say it doesn't have to be a knower. So their definition is the same as we have here, but excludes the word no, the Vaibhashika. And this is because they say that it's not a no or a consciousness and awareness. It is not required for the object to be realized. Can, of course, be realized by a consciousness or an awareness or a knower, but it can also be realized by a sense power. So because a physical sense power. So because the Vaibhashikas say that a sense power, a physical sense power, can realize an object, they therefore exclude the word knower from their definition. Whereas the Prasangika, they excluded the word new, and the other schools accepted the definition as it is, the Sautrantikas, Chittamatrans, and Svatrantikas. When one divides sense direct valid cognizers, as we see on the middle page 6, there are 5 divisions. And these each relate to the varying sense powers. So there's a sense direct valid cognizers apprehending forms, apprehending sound, smell, taste, and touch, or tactile objects.
Because
sense direct valid cognizers are included within on page 3 the sense direct perceivers, but in the first of the 3 divisions, valid cognizers that are sense direct perceivers, here on page 6 we look at them in very briefly, because on page 3 we looked at sense direct perceivers in some detail. Now we're just pulling out one of that threefold division, and because it's important, so they all there on page 6. But we don't need to look at it in too much detail here, hence the text doesn't present it in much detail because it was covered in more detail previously. Now the third one, mental direct valid cognizes. Yeah, we have the definition. A new incontrovertible non-conceptual knower that arises in dependence upon a mental sense power that is its uncommon empowering condition. Then we see here there are six divisions for mental direct valid cognizers. Mental direct valid cognizers apprehending forms and so forth. Forms and so forth then refers to first the five sense objects. Objects are the senses. So we have form, smell, touch, taste, tangible objects. And then the sixth one is phenomena. We come to the fourth direct valid cognizer, the yogic direct valid cognizer. So we'll read the two definitions together, that of the yogic direct perceivers at the top of page 5 and the yogic direct valid cognizers on page 6. So we'll see then. So the yogic direct perceiver on page 5, remember, there's just two divisions, and the first of that is valid cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers, and that is defined here at the bottom of page 6. So we'll first read the definition of the yogic direct perceiver, that which is generated in dependence on its own uncommon empowering condition, a stabilization that is a union of calm abiding and meditative insight, and is an utter knowing, exalted knower in the continuum of an area that is non-conceptual and unmistaken. Now when we come to the definition of the yogic direct valid cognizer, it's a little more extensive. An utter knowing, exalted knower in the continuum of an area that, in dependence upon a stabilization that is the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, and its uncommon empowering condition, newly and directly realizes either subtle impermanence or the coarse or subtle selflessness of persons. So here you can see with these two definitions, they have parts in common, and then in the yogic direct valid cognizers, there are additional parts.
유지 생기자도 유지 좀 마셔봐셔. 다들에 처음에 생기자도 유지 체벌지도 유지 양념도 잘 쏘봐래. 런다라 집어래. 다들 사도 납시나 지금 사도 남마라 캐어마듯이 사도 납시네. 말랍나 나 중어숨기 모습이지 생기자로래. 가정 나 중어숨들라 유도가 잡으러와 가서 제마다 지신이 마다요 마 나라마고요 마 내가 자랑에 투모메 다기는 실어서 띵에 지나 되는 게 차위 미다바다 가자다며 차라 가로 가로 모습도 또비 파기 쳔발은 사도 사도 말랍나 파기 쳔발라지나 나중에서 심에 생기자다
To talk about then what differentiates these definitions. So we look here on page 6 at the definition, and there are three bullet points. So what differentiates is primarily contained in the third bullet point. So it says here, newly and directly. So this then makes it clear that we're referring to a direct valid cognizer, because it's new, so it's only referring to the first moment. So in the yogic direct perceiver, in that definition, it doesn't talk about newly. And that is because there are two divisions, valid and subsequent. Subsequent are not new. But what we have on page 6 is only the first division, the valid cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers. And that is what's defined on page 6, hence new, because it only refers to that first moment. And then the second part, which is new in this definition, is the rest of this third bullet point, which refers to the objects that are realized by a yogic direct perceiver, because a yogic direct perceiver doesn't necessarily realize any old object. And in the definition of a yogic direct valid cognizer, then the three objects are explicitly stated: subtle impermanence, core selflessness of persons, or subtle selflessness of persons. If that wasn't included here, the objects weren't included, it would still be function as a definition. But what should be very clear is that because we have here newly, that is referring explicitly to a yogic direct valid cognizer. And of course, the objects of a yogic direct perceiver, a yogic direct valid cognizer, are explicitly stated for a reason. They aren't included in definition for no purpose. In the when we've looked at sense and mental direct perceivers, we saw that there were a variety of divisions, and they could have a variety of objects, therefore, and they could observe form or sound, smell, etc., a variety of differing objects. But here, in the yogic direct valid cognizer, the inclusion of these three objects explicitly states, or makes it explicitly clear, manifestly clear, that a yogic direct perceiver doesn't just apprehend any old form or sound or smell or taste, but it's these three objects. It's these three objects that a yogic direct valid cognizer realizes. Hence, these objects are explicitly included in the definition.
Dame 제바치네 담에라 미베 라동 토토긴 제 담에라 미베 신에다 라동 송도 TV 로친 고레 데네게 로디 공발라 데네 나시 옹스 모 주고 고레 제사 나지 옹스 제데 파베 귤마도 요 말 제사 파바 세디 파바 마샤 녜라 녜네 네 가사 디 귤라 아네 에 가소리 담에 토베기 담에라 미베 신에다 담에라 미베 라동 토고 고레 제사 데네게 톱찬에 데네 신에 디 야 옹스 모 주고 로 옹스 모 주드
So let's now look at some of the rest of the definition here. So in the second bullet point, independence upon a stabilization that is the union of calm abiding and meditative insights, and its is its uncommon empowering condition. So the uncommon empowering condition here is this. Is a stabilization that is a union of calm abiding and meditative insight. That is the uncommon or the unique empowering condition of a yogic direct perceiver. So calm abiding, we know, is single point of concentration. Meditative insights previously are translated as special insights, other translators use penetrative insights. You remember this, these two are where the object is held single-pointedly, calm abiding, and whilst being held single-pointedly, one can engage in analytical meditation, meditative insight. And the union means both are present together. The object is held single-pointedly while it's analyzed. So that is the meaning, that is what the uncommon empowering condition is. But what's important is what we've just looked at in the third bullet point, what the object is. Because there's a wide variety of objects that can be held by the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, but that a mind that is doing so is not necessarily a yogic direct perceiver. It has to be one of these objects, such as coarse or subtle selflessness of persons. And so it has to be one of these three objects, which is held by the union of calm abiding, and meditative insight. And therefore, a yogic direct perceiver is only in the continuum of an arya being, which we have here in the definition in the first bullet point. Because it's only an arya being that has a stabilization that is the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, realizing subtle impermanence or the coarse or subtle selflessness of phenomena. So when those, the second and third bullet points are put together, it becomes clear that that can only be in the continuum of an arya being or a noble being.
Jesa dang han ju gi lam nyam len che ne lam dang bo tho me do so lam si tho ro so lam se jesa so lam se tho me do de ni gi lam de la mi da ba to bi gi so lam yo re da me ba to bi gi so lam yo re jesa da me ba mi bi xin ne yo re dāme tōne, dāme pāli mīpē cīcī nīpē shīnē tūkō yōng yōre inā dāme pāli mīpē lāgtōng sēdē tōyō māre jīnā tōlāṁ pā tīkēpsō tā dāme pāli shīnē, dāme pāli mīpē shīnē dī ngāne dāme pāli mīpē lāgtōng dūpne lāgtōng dī jīyō dī, shīlā sūdē jīyō dī jōlāṁ pā sēdē chā tūkō rē
The five mental paths to be developed by yogis. The first is the path of accumulation. So when the path of accumulation is attained, then there will be objects such as impermanence that are realized, objects such as selflessness which are realized. And the yogi or yogini who has achieved the path of accumulation will also have achieved already calm abiding. And their calm abiding, they will be able to place on selflessness. So they've realized selflessness with calm abiding, with the mind of calm abiding, but not with with meditative insight. So in other words, they are able to realize selflessness and hold that realization single-pointedly, but whilst holding it single-pointedly, they are not able to continue their analysis. When they can hold a realization of selflessness single-pointedly, which is with the mind of calm abiding, and continue to analyze without losing their single-pointed concentration, That is when they have the union of calm abiding and meditative insight on the object, on selflessness.
Dene konde gela, dene konso tokum sotam, tolam tuptu, dene konso dakme dang sine dang laktong yere.
Tolam yenerab so dame tugore, dame lemi bishine yore, smada lakno yomare, lakno yule ki yodu, ten jolam bachar.
You need the sungjol yore. So just making sure. So when the path of preparation, the second of the five paths is achieved, that what marks the boundary of achieving the path of preparation, the progression from the path of accumulation, is that the union of calm abiding and meditative insight is placed on the object selflessness. Whereas prior to that, in the path of accumulation, only calm abiding was holding the realization of selflessness, but it was without meditative insight.
So this realization that marks the progression from this the mental path of accumulation to that, the mental path that is the path of preparation, is when the union of calm abiding and meditative insight is achieved on the object selflessness. This realization of selflessness is a subsequent cognizer. It is a conceptual consciousness because it is mixed with the meaning generality, or what I used to translate as the mental image. It's mixed with a meaning generality. Then, as the yogi or yogini develops their meditation, so they continue with their progression of the union of calm abiding meditative insight on the object selflessness, eventually they will come to realize selflessness directly, which means it's no longer a conceptual consciousness, it's a direct perceiver. And that means it's not mixed with a meaning generality. And it's at this moment that they give rise to a yogic direct valid cognizer realizing selflessness, and they become an Arya being. Because that is the moment that they have a direct realization of selflessness. And that is when they become an Arya being. And when they achieve, when they arise now as an Arya being, that too marks the crossing the boundary into the third mental path, that of the path of seeing. So this then is the progression through the first three of the five parts, parts of accumulation, preparation, and seeing.
Mm-hmm. Tayo mida wonsum to be tsema. De gaza dame, rabo wonsum to be tsema. And the gaza dame, tama wonsum to be najong wonsum to tsema sin, yawan wonsum tsema, sumni wore.
And we see, as we see here at the bottom of page 6, there are three divisions to yogic direct perceivers. Valid cognizes directly, maybe it should be yogic direct valid cognizes directly realizing subtle impermanence. Yogic direct valid cognizes directly realizing the core selflessness of persons. And yogic direct valid cognizes directly realizing the subtle selflessness of persons.
Mm-hmm. Tayo mita bongo sundu to be samas, nashung osum samas, ure. Tayo mita bongo sundu to be samas, ure. Tayo mita bongo sundu to be samas, ure. Nashung osumadu yomar, shanda yomar, ure. Tayo mita bongo sundu to be samas, ure. Tayo mita bongo sundu to be samas, ure. Mita badela, tara mangu yungurwa, ure. Tita, mita ba rakwa rakwa to ba zingi nashung osum chagi mare, ure. Tay nashung osum chaya, ure. Tay yu dila karsin, mita ba di, mita ba chamo di yungurwa, ure.
That first division of yogic direct valid cognizes realizing subtle impermanence. Here what we need to understand is a couple of things. Firstly, that subtle impermanence is only realized by a yogic direct perceiver. And impermanence itself has many layers of subtlety. So you can divide impermanence in terms of subtlety across many divisions.
Mm. That Terry Mida, Mida Bato Eddie, Terry Mida Bato Eddie, Mazi, Yachimbo Shuchagore, another Terry Mida Bato Eddie Dobaina, Koal and Yjunkiella, Yjunkiella, Yjun Shuchimbuki to Ore, Koal and Yjunkia, Koal and Everjun Yjunkiban, Tabadoni Lam Logi Samaki, Donya Dumbadi Shucher Ware, Tabadoni Dumbadi, Shucher Joana.
The realization of subtle impermanence is actually something of great importance in that when this realization is achieved, then it adds great strength to the mind of the practitioner, in particular the mind of definite emergence, this commitment that's of to strive for liberation. So here, when subtle impermanence is realized, then the practitioner will strive with ever greater vigor to attain liberation from cyclic existence, because they will have come to realize, because through realizing subtle impermanence, they will see that they can realize, later realize selflessness. It will give them the confidence that selflessness, they can themselves realize selflessness. The understanding of selflessness will not appear distant or theoretical, but something that they have now great confidence they can realize, and therefore they have great vigor in their practice. Hence, for those starting out, those who aspire to enter into the paths, then the training in impermanence is of great importance for those who are starting out as well.
Mitawa Sayadi, Ganeshi Lavoresine, and the Kuran Kiduk of the Judan Kinchila Dirce Jeva, called Judan Kinlama Duva Mevache, Judan Kinchila Duni Gigore, Judan Kinchila Duni, and the Kumevache, called Jedi, and Ganesha was.
When one comes to, and as one develops one's understanding of impermanence, one is developing the understanding that impermanent phenomena come about in dependence on causes and conditions. They are not causeless, but are come about in dependence on causes and conditions. Moreover, as one develops one's understanding of impermanence, one comes to see that all impermanent phenomena change momentarily. Not just the course change that can observe, but they change momentarily. They don't remain static. They're always going through this constant process of change. And this is the meaning, this understanding of momentary change is the understanding of impermanence.
Course impermanence is something that we all clearly understand. The illustration often given, you plant a seed, treated well or treated correctly, appropriately, it will sprout, and then continuing to have the right conditions, it will grow into a tree, and later it will wither and die. So this understanding is an understanding of impermanence, but of course impermanence. Subtle impermanence, this momentary change, this is not something that we have come to realize. When we see an object, even if it's something as obviously impermanent as the flower we see today and the flower we saw yesterday, we think it's the same flower. We don't think it's changed. We don't even think it changes hour by hour. If we were to see that, we'd be surprised. So this shows how we have our understanding of impermanence. Our realization of impermanence is incredibly coarse, and how distant we are from having an understanding of subtle impermanence. Impermanence, we've heard, comes a phenomena that are impermanent, change momentarily, independent on causes and conditions. So this we've just mentioned. The phenomena that are not impermanent are those which are permanent. Those which are impermanent, they change momentarily. Those which are permanent do not change momentarily. So the meaning of the word permanence is that it doesn't change momentarily. And again, which illustrates our lack of understanding of impermanence, our lack of realization of impermanence, is how we grasp at its opposite, how we grasp at permanence, at things not changing. So we're all sitting here, and if we reflect back on the continuity of this life, we were all born from a mother, and we are here now.
And we hope, so that was the past, we have the present, and we hope to be here for some years still. But where our grasping of permanence comes in here is we see that the self, that our infant self, our now grown-up self, and the self that's yet to come, we see this as the same. We don't really see, we see the, this ourselves as the self of yesterday, ourselves of yesterday and today and tomorrow as the same. So it's this is this grasping at permanence that we have, and this grasping at permanence causes us many difficulties. Grasping at permanence in this way, we grasp that, oh, I hope I'll live to 70 or 80 or 85 years in this life. And this is a wrong consciousness. This, when we mentioned earlier the sevenfold division of Lodic, the seventh was this one, wrong consciousness, and we'll come to it later. And it's independence on this wrong consciousness that we procrastinate, that we waste so much of our time and our energy, our life. And this is because we haven't come to realize impermanence, the impermanence of this life. And not realizing the impermanence of this life, not only do we waste our time, we waste our opportunity, but we engage in non-virtuous actions, deceiving others, taking advantage of others, and so forth. So independence on not having a realization of impermanence, we continue to waste this life. We continue not to think about the Dharma, but just to live a life in a very ordinary way. If one does, though, reflect well on impermanence, coming to see the certainty of death and the uncertainty of the time and the manner of the death, of our death, and that after death, rebirth will follow. And that rebirth can only be in one of two directions, either another good rebirth or falling into the realms of great suffering. When we really come to gain a profound understanding of this, that it transforms us, our mind will be turned towards the Dharma naturally. And what that means, what it means to have your mind turned towards the Dharma, is naturally our mind will become softer, more spacious, more gentle,
more kind-hearted. Where we thoughts such as taking advantage of others, harming others, these will not arise as easily because we will know the results that come from these minds. Because in brief, suffering comes from negative karma, happiness comes from positive karma. Positive karma comes from a virtuous way of thinking, because from virtue comes happiness. Suffering comes from non-virtue, harmful ways of thinking, ways that are contrary to the Dharma. So when one has come to some realization of impermanence, such as the impermanence of this life, naturally we'll ensure our mind is in the direction of virtue because we will not want to fall into the lower realms in our next lives, because we'll want to continue to our spiritual progression. And therefore, we will turn our minds towards virtue, creating causes for happiness. And in this way, with the mind turned towards the Dharma, with far greater ease, we will be able to discipline our mind, develop our virtuous minds, weaken and eliminate our non-virtuous minds. If we express that differently, with far greater ease, we'll be able to accumulate positive karma and eliminate non-virtuous or negative karma. As one makes progress in one's meditation on impermanence, coming to understand momentary change, we'll come to see with great clarity that we have no basis to say with certainty that we will see tomorrow. Death can come at any moment because this life is impermanent. And if, as to the extent that that realization dawns within us, to that extent we will know, to that extent we will ensure that our mind does not go in the direction of non-virtue. Because if we accumulate non-virtue now, our death could follow in the next moment, and that could be what propels our next rebirth. Moreover, because my death could come at any time, whatever opportunity or whatever length of time remains between now and my death, I must use it wisely. I must use it to accumulate virtue. I must use it to accumulate the causes of happiness. And every opportunity that I encounter, I must ensure that is an opportunity to accumulate virtue. That is an opportunity to engage in with a mind that is virtuous. An analogy that makes this clear, an analogy that's often found in the texts, is if one is in a place filled with precious objects such as gold and diamonds, and if one knows that one is there only for a limited time, say for another few hours, one will use every moment as well as one can, accumulating as much of this wealth as possible. One will not waste a moment because one will see each and every moment as precious, because one knows that that time, that opportunity is impermanent. So that is the type of thinking that one comes to attain
through reflecting on impermanence. Because it's through this reflection on impermanence that one comes to see that this precious opportunity that we have achieved will end, and can end at any moment, because it is changing momentarily. And therefore, at any moment, there is still the possibility that I could fall into the lower realms, where not only will I suffer immensely, but I will not be able to accumulate virtue. Therefore, I must do so now, and I must do so continuously whilst I have this opportunity.
Mentioned earlier that there's permanence, impermanence, and permanence. Our realization of impermanence, that leads to one striving for liberation. It leads to a complete transformation of our way of thinking, a complete transformation of our priorities. We come to see that liberation is possible, that freedom from suffering is possible for us. That's what comes from meditating effectively on impermanence. On the other hand, if one stays where we are now, grasping at permanence, expecting things that are impermanent to remain, situations that are in the nature impermanent to be lasting, expecting them to last, this way of thinking is what keeps us bound in samsara. The opposite, realizing impermanence, is what leads us to attain liberation. But this, the opposite to that, the mind we currently have, this grasping at permanence, keeps us trapped in samsara, in that we keep grasping at things that, as if they existed in a way which they do not. And therefore we keep accumulating the causes that lead to our suffering. We keep ourselves bound in samsara. So therefore, the one way of thinking, the realization that comes from reflecting on impermanence, leads to liberation. Whereas continuing to grasp at permanence leads us to continuing to create the causes that bind us in samsara. So wanting happiness, wanting to be freed from suffering, we need to accumulate the causes that lead to happiness and eliminate those that lead to suffering. And to do so, we need to start by abandoning our grasping at permanence. And how to do so? Meditate on impermanence. We've been talking about here in the topic of impermanence. You would have heard in your Lamrim teachings, because this is right near the beginning of the Lamrim text.
the presentation on the impermanence of this life, or often translated as death and impermanence. And spiritual practitioners of any capacity, whether of initial capacity or intermediate capacity or spiritual practitioners of supreme capacity, they all start with the meditation on impermanence. And this is because no matter what goal one desires, whether it is to become a Buddha for the sake of others, or liberation from suffering, or a good rebirth, one has to start with the same meditation on impermanence, because that is what gives the strength of mind and the confidence to the practitioner that one can spiritually progress. One can accumulate the causes for good rebirths and for liberation from suffering. And that strength of mind is required to transform our way of thinking, transform our priorities. So when one starts meditating on impermanence, one doesn't start with subtle impermanence. One starts with coarse impermanence. One thinks about that we, in this life, we were born, we immediately started to age, and that process has continued, and so forth. And we think then about impermanence on a coarse level. We see, we observe this change, and then we think this change came about in dependence on causes. What are those causes? So we think about impermanence on a coarse level and its causes, and as we get more familiar, we start to progress to subtler levels. And in this way, going through such a sequence, we'll come to a subtle realization of impermanence.
Lori nyeshe digeda ngang zugeda na juong wong sum siya da chema wong sum yi chema diliya da jige wong bi wong sum yi chema yi yong wong sum yi chema siya da rari wong sum chema na juong wong sum yi chema du sun yi chema dili rik mida warbu shi du dine za chema di dine siyo re da na juong wong sum yi doya yi di gara dugu wore sana yu mida ba siya dugu wore an gansa dame siya do rakwa si da gansa dame chamo siya dugu wore ya siya chi du sun da dine gida na juong wong sum yi Dambot Mitawa Tuguin, Mitawa Samtana, Mitawa Donanga, the Pando Carrier, Mitawa Matovana, Jun Carrier, as sometimes do, said Mitawa di Mitawa di Gudan Jen Latin, a Kijiki Jiba till Mitawa Lawares. Dinner Hagogon Lodigi, Hagobaina, and Azulia, and Gavatuya La Pingores, and Tabat the Tamjiki Mutoyala Tanya Rores. Then Mitawa Dosho di Gudan Jen Lamatuba. 그런 교육이네 저 기지기지 교육이네 저에 매되긴 예바치라 답아라 거래 지난 니네게 답아딩 가서 니네 삼다 니네게 답아 짐바이나 나 세딩아 답아래 삼 짐바이나 지난 나 규단 규례 규제라 맞죠 봐 교육이네만 답아 진대 봐이나 내가 되네 되자 콘도 가게 담마라 깨진 안 지기 디바사는 코와라 가서 깨라 디두고레스 온 드네 자다 미다 미다 봤어 또 해야 돼 계신 브레샤 삼제 되나 가지고 미타바세디 Di rakwa samdhan haje. Ta du chamba samdhan dine gi ne, an nga siya di nimeri nimeri liya, an jik du si nimeri chudu chudu zhuru gore. Di na si, kama jik nalwa ya nga zi du siya bai ne, di si, nga zi shokha ya lan du, nye jian na ya lan haje, shokha sa du, du samdhan du, di si nye jian na nye du yuan di nga di, go da zi ga sar da yuwa ma res. Di nye jian na ya lan haje, du lo guan, dong tu guan di, ga sar da da yuwa ma res. Dang had the color shorts sashimi nehas nadis. Daddy shorts come chichella, and as Tisahandia Zorje and Zorjores. Chino do guard warres and do send a kitchi guard of some tavaina. Then meet up with some tire chagore. Chino do send a kitchi kitchi jibi gimsen meeting the sungo, meeting pen social meeting suven, tambo soso nga, nga said meeting soje, danga. Tu sosoraran kekan kiji yuwajona tu samdan kanzam jela nga said kiji chile mineba yuwajo de yuba de sebu hago to do and mitaba sadi charcha hago de dine mitaba chamo to yagi go pra yorba dine za dine ge du chine kiji kiji yuwajo ta de samda de ye chi mo cha gore dine yuwajo da samda ba ina and ga pen gore sene odanga du yuwajo de za kewa nga ge chu de ma du ba ina अनि दिनेगी जुया कोगा मराचे मेवा छासन्द पैसा सारे ऐसे बिगी अनि समलो दिले थुगुरवा दिने जंग जोगी ने मिदाबे को दिनेगे समताहेदि त दिरिङ हा जोगे ते लप्सन दिगे दिनेगे समताहेदि के छमुदवा अनि सङी दान दे जागे मिदाबा जादे ते कासा तामे रखवा सि तान कासा तामे छमो दि कोरिया सङी अंग तो दि कोसि छोरो
So tonight we started with a review of what we've looked at and culminating in looking at the direct value cognizers, which have these four divisions of self-knowing direct value cognizers, sense direct value cognizers, mental direct value cognizers, and now we've been looking at, started to look at the yogic direct value cognizers. We see here that we looked at the definition of a yogic direct value cognizer, and we saw that a yogic direct value cognizer has to have one of three objects. And we've started to look at the first of those three, yogic direct value cognizers, directly realizing subtle impermanence. And then tomorrow we'll start, we'll either continue from the first or we'll start with the second, yogic direct value cognizers, realizing the core selflessness of persons. So in this meditation on impermanence that I'd really strongly encourage you to engage in, the meaning of impermanence is that phenomena are either permanent or impermanent. Those which are impermanent change momentarily. Those which are permanent do not change. This reflection on impermanence is of great importance because it's through the realization of impermanence that one enters into the Dharma practices, into the paths of the Dharma. This realization of impermanence is a great aid in our accumulation of virtue. It's a great aid in us turning away from non-virtue. It gives us the confidence and strength of mind to know that we ourselves can achieve liberation. It leads to the arisal of definite emergence. On the other hand, though, this mind that grasps at permanence, that expects things that do change momentarily not to change, such as this lifespan, such as our good opportunities, this grasping at permanence, at the very least, leads us to waste our life. But it actually also leads to a tremendous amount, or our accumulation of non-virtue. Because grasping at permanence includes grasping at the self as being permanent, which means not seeing the self as dependent. Not seeing the self as dependent on, for example, causes and conditions. Seeing it as permanent leads to our rise of all afflictions, such as anger and attachments and all the resulting non-virtue. So when we start our meditation on impermanence, start with the more obvious illustration, so we get used to the meditation, get used to that technique, and as we're becoming more familiar, we can move it to subtler objects. So we start with our life, then we see that we were born. So we came about in dependence on causes, we started to age immediately, that too came about in dependence on causes. And we use this to develop the understanding that this life is impermanent and therefore it will end. Death will come to us. And so we can see this over a stream of a lifespan, and then we need to make it a little subtler, thinking about our time, the course of a day. So in the morning, we wake up. Then the opportunity to rest and recharge, that is now finished. And by the time we're sitting down for breakfast, that first spell of the morning, the first span of the morning, is also finished. And a few minutes later, when we've finished our breakfast, that opportunity is also gone. So the day is already disappearing before us. It's showing its impermanence. Then, as we continue with our day, we see how all of these little segments come and go. They pass. And we see this impermanent nature. And if we, whatever wish we have to have a virtuous mind, to develop virtuous minds, we see these opportunities that have passed as being finished. Those opportunities to accumulate virtue, they are lost. They are gone. Now what lies is this present moment to accumulate virtue. And in this way, based on this reflection of impermanence, we come to see I shouldn't lose a moment. I should utilize every moment, whatever I'm doing, to ensure that my mind is virtuous, and therefore I have a mind of the Dharma. So in this way, reflecting on a very coarse level about impermanence, already we can have an impact on our way of thinking, our way of speaking, and our behavior. So even such a coarse meditation, especially if we can stay mindful of it, helps us to transform our life, helps us to live a life that is meaningful. So that's where we'll finish tonight, having started to look at impermanence, and we'll continue with the rest of the presentation on the objects of yogic direct value cognizance then tomorrow. It's not so late, so actually if you have some questions, we can take some questions. Yes.
Could you say that the reason we're grasping impermanence is because on a deeper level we feel the flimsiness of our nature and the impermanence and the subtleness of who we are, and so we grasp it as sort of an impermanent concept, a permanent concept of ourselves. So if we can relax with the flimsiness and understanding dependent arising, then we could be more creative with that flimsiness.
So if I understand the question, then is the reason that we grasp permanence, is that because we are on an innate level, an unconscious level, that we are actually aware of our impermanence? Yeah.
And the selflessness of ourselves.
And therefore perhaps there is a bit of anxiety, so we grasp at a permanence.
Well, we're trying to make ourselves more concrete.
Yeah. Okay, good, thank you. Dini, now to Tapa Diniki Guten, now to Lenke, Mitapa Yins, Shingiore, not to Rangzi, Lenke Made Rangzi, now to Mitapa Yins, Rangzin, Shingiore, Dini, now to Shigiore, now to Dakme Yin, now to Rangzin, Shingiore, Dini, now to Shigiore. I'd express it a bit differently. So we do have this natural feeling that I will be alive in the future. I will be alive next year, for example. And so we have this feeling that we will be alive next year, and our continuum certainly will continue. So, for example, when we were younger,
we knew that we had to make preparations for our old age. If we want to be happy in our old age and have comfort in our old age, we need to prepare now. So therefore we need to work, and we need to save and make our plans for our old age. And right now also we need to make plans for our future. So in this way we make plans for a future. We have this natural feeling that there is a future, and the way to deal with this skillfully is not to have any sense of fear, but to accumulate the appropriate causes for the result that we wish for. In the same way that a parent will encourage and cajole their child to get as good an education as possible, because of knowing that if the child has a good education, they are likely to have a better future. So similarly, with this feeling that we have that we do have a future, that we will be around next year, we need to accumulate the causes that will ensure that we experience the outcomes that we hope for. Okay. Alan?
With the stages or the path of accumulation and various realizations that we achieve of that, I guess you can explain, we go from more subtle realization of having burdens and solvency. I have read that we focus upon different objects at different stages. There are four stages on the path of preparation.
Preparation or accumulation?
Preparation.
Preparation.
Okay. No, humans, we are preparing. Heat, okay. Endurance, and highest mundane quality. Mm-hmm. And on each of those paths, we focus upon different objects. Mm-hmm. As far as I understand, on the heat, we focus on impure objects. Mm-hmm. And then on the next stage, pure objects, and then third stage, impure object possessors or impure consciousness, and then on the fourth stage, pure consciousnesses or correct consciousnesses. Am I on the right path in thinking that that is the way we progress on the path of preparation?
Okay. The path of preparation has four parts: forbearance, endurance, and supreme mundane qualities. And so each one, if I understand correctly, has its own primary object of meditation. Are those objects impure objects, pure objects, impure consciousness, and pure consciousness? Okay. Jolam Iwashiyore, Rinpoche, then a Rinpoche de Soso Yul Yore, a Gosson, then a Soso Yul de Di Repe, the Kunki Katire, the Soso Yul Di Repe, then a Dre, then a Kunki Yul Midakpa, Madakme, Yul Dakme,
Midame,
then a Dre, then he picked
Jemma Seba, Cheshon, Adinalia, Udela.
So in all four parts of the path of preparation, they have the same three objects of subtle impermanence, coarse and subtle selflessness. So those are those three objects are repeated on all four levels, four levels of the path of preparation. The subtle selflessness, though, is the object for when one is in meditative equipoise. When the yogi progresses from the first to the second level of the path of preparation, so from heat to peak, then they will do so in meditative equipoise, and that meditative equipoise will be in on the subtle selflessness of persons. Then they've achieved the second of the four levels of the second part, the path of preparation, and they've achieved now the peak level. And here they will meditate on subtle impermanence, on core selflessness, and on subtle impermanence, selflessness. So those same three objects again. When they come to move from the second level of the path of preparation to that third level, so from heat, from peak to forbearance, then they will move from the second to the third level, from peak to forbearance, in a meditative equipoise. That meditative equipoise will be on subtle selflessness. So exactly the same as from the first to the second level, for the second to the third level. And it's the same then, we're now on the third level, forbearance. They'll meditate on subtle impermanence, on core selflessness, on subtle selflessness. So those same three again. When they come to progress from the third level to the fourth level of the path of preparation, so from forbearance to supreme mundane qualities, they will again do so in meditative equipoise, and again the object will be subtle selflessness of persons, all the same. The fourth level of the path of preparation, supreme mundane qualities, they'll just, well, let me check this, then the Rinpoche de And then on the fourth level of the path of preparation, the supreme mundane qualities, they again will meditate on subtle impermanence, core selflessness, subtle selflessness. And when they come to come to realize subtle selflessness directly, will be in a meditative equipoise, and that will mark them moving to the path of seeing and being an Arya being. So again, when they move now from the path of preparation, the fourth level, as with all the preceding levels, there will be in a meditative equipoise. The object will be the subtle selflessness of persons. So all that's the same, but now they come to.
Okay, so
I apologize, the time really is up. Can we have the prayers in brief, please? Okay, thank you.